Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, the Bible reading will be from Esther chapter 9, verse 20, through to chapter 10, verse 3. So that's chapter 9, verse 20, through to the end of the book. And so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider his word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. Let's pray. God of purity and life, we come to you as poor beggars, eager to receive what you have said. Unless you had spoken, we would not know you. We'd have no reason to hope, no cause for joy. So we pray that as we now come to your word, that your spirit would take away every hindrance, that we would hear rightly and believe. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Esther chapter 9. Verse 20 through to chapter 10, verse 3. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and also the 15th day of the same, year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another, and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that had been devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, after the term pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring, and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written, and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority, confirming this second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them, and as they had obligated themselves and their offspring, with regard to their fasts and their lamenting. The command of Queen Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing. King Ahasuerus imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honour of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai, the Jew, was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews, and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people, and spoke peace to all his people. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with my 3 kids, Kai, Ellie, and Hannah. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, I know that we've been learning about the story of Esther recently, haven't we?
Yeah.
We're up to our very final week, and I know that you guys know a lot about the Book of Esther, so I thought I would test you all. Okay? So I'm going to read out the story of Esther, but whenever I get to something that's not right, I want you to chime in with a ding, 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 and then you can tell me what the correct thing should be. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? All right, here we go. Once upon a time, there was a girl called Erin.
Ding, 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 ding.
Kai?
Esther.
Are you Esther?
Yeah.
Are you Kai? Kai, what's her name?
Esther.
Esther, that's right. Esther was a Jew, and she was very ugly, so nobody ding, wanted ding, to ding, marry
ding,
her.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ellie?
She was very beautiful.
She was very beautiful.
And rich, I think.
She wasn't rich, no. Esther became queen because she married King Ahab.
No.
Ding, 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 ding. Ahasuerus.
Ahasuerus, that's right, Hannah. Good girl.
Ahasuerus.
Now, while Esther was queen, there was a man who was very powerful called Harold.
Ding, 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 ding.
A haven.
Hannah, can you stop chiming in and taking all the answers, please?
Haman.
Haman, that's exactly right. Now, Haman loved all the Jewish people.
Ding, 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 ding.
He hated them.
Yes, that's exactly right. He wanted all the Jews to be honoured and blessed by the king.
Ding, 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 ding.
What do you want?
He hated the Jews. He wanted them all to be killed.
That's right. Haman got the king to sign a decree saying that all the Jews would be given free ice cream on one day coming
ding, ding,
soon.
Ding, 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 ding.
They'll be killed on one day.
Yes, that's exactly right, Hannah. Good girl. A man in Esther's family called Max told
ding,
Esther...
Ding, 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 ding.
Kai?
Hi. Mordecai.
Mordecai, that's right. Mordecai told Esther to go to see the king because perhaps she had become queen for such a time as this.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really? I pretty much quoted the Bible exactly there. That was right. When Esther knew she would have to go to see the king, even though he hadn't called for her, she felt very sleepy.
Scared.
She got all the Jews to pray and go without food for 600 years.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Definitely. Maybe 40 days.
Without food for 3 days.
That's right. It was 3 days. Esther knew that if the king didn't hold out his golden whistle to her,
ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding.
That's right, Hannah. Good girl. She knew that if the king didn't hold out his golden scepter to her, she would be killed. One night, the king was reading through some records, and he discovered that Madge the magician...
Ding, 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 ding.
Mordecai.
And Mordecai.
He's not a magician.
That's right. He discovered that Mordecai hadn't been honoured for something great that he'd done. So, he asked Hamlet what should
ding,
be done.
Ding, 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 Haman.
That's right. Haman thought the king wanted to honour him. So he said the king should open up a pizza shop and name
ding,
it
ding,
after
ding,
that
ding,
man.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
Haman said that he should have a crown on his head that the king has worn and some royal robes and being ridden on the king's horse.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think the crown was actually on the horse's head, not on the one being honoured's head. You know that? A bit funny, isn't it?
Weird.
But as it turned out, King Ahasuerus honoured Martin.
Mordecai.
Horace was so
ding ding glad. Ding 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 ding.
Haman was so mad that he built a huge catapult.
Ding 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 ding.
So that he could fling Michael over the city
ding,
walls.
Ding 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 ding. No, he didn't do that. He built a huge
50 cubits high gallows.
Well done.
To hang Mordecai.
That's right. Esther went to the king and asked him and Haman to come to a ballet concert with her.
Ding, 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 ding.
Into a dinner feast.
That's right. The king held out his golden pencil sharpener to
ding,
her.
Ding, 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 ding.
His golden scepter.
That's right. And she was allowed to live. She told the king that she was a Jew and that because of Haman, all her people would be eaten by a giant jellyfish.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. Would be killed on one day coming very soon.
That's right. The king was so angry that he had Haman flung over the wall on the giant catapult.
Ding, 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 ding.
Gallows.
Hung on the gallows.
That's
hung
right.
On the gallows.
That he had prepared for Mordecai.
Absolutely, Kai. The king changed the rules of the law so that the Jews were allowed to throw rotten fish at ding, all ding, the people ding, trying ding. To hurt them.
Ding, 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 ding.
What were they allowed to do?
They were allowed to fight back.
That's right. The Jews lost the battle.
They won the battle.
Because God forgot about them.
Ding, 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 ding.
He never forgets about anything.
That's right.
He did not forget.
He loves his people, doesn't he?
Yep.
Well done, guys. You've learned lots about the story of Esther. This really is an incredible story, and it's a true story that really did happen. It's a story that shows us that God is more powerful than any human ruler. It shows us that God cares for his people and will protect them. It reminds us to keep trusting God, even in dark days, because God will always win the battle. And it's a story that reminds us to thank God for sending Jesus to save us from all evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Esther. Thank you for all the things that you've taught us through this book, and we pray that you would help us to trust you always, knowing that you will always win the battle. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 A friend of mine, Steve Jones, is one of the ministers at Druin Presbyterian Church. And recently I heard him recite a poem he's written called Only Boring People Get Bored. Here's the first bit of it. I'm bored, sighed Sam as he slouched on the couch, his arms cross, face frowns just being a grouch. I'm the most bored boy there could ever be. Nobody's ever been as bored as me. Well, his mum, who heard this same whinge every day, just smiled a tired smile and began to say, Only boring people get bored. You see, our world's not boring, so how could you be? Boring people don't get fascinated. They look at nature uncaptivated, just seeing the surface, not looking under, and missing the world in all of its wonder. Just open your eyes, look around and you'll see, being boring in our world, you just cannot be. Are you bored? Not from lockdown. You might be getting stir-crazy, and Steve's poem is a helpful reminder to us to find the amazing, even in what seems the humdrum. But are you bored with the Christian life? Or maybe you're looking at the Christian life from the outside, wondering if it's for you, and it doesn't look exciting. Christians seem to be stodgy people who don't get to have fun. When they're at church, they sing, which is weird, and they listen to someone giving a monologue on the Bible, of all things. If you're feeling the Christian life is just humdrum and boring, do what the mum encouraged Sam to do. Start exploring. Lift up the log and the rock and see what's crawling around. Because when you do that, you'll have reason not only to be fascinated, but you'll have reason to celebrate, like at the end of the book of Esther. Celebrate God's mighty act of salvation. Let's ground ourselves with where we are in the biblical story. God had promised Abraham his descendants would be a nation with a land, and he'd bless them. And he'd kept his promise. He'd brought his descendants, the nation Israel, into the land. And after a few hundred years, the nation had turned away from God despite all the warnings that he'd sent from his prophets. So he brought in Babylon to take the people away into exile. Like he wanted, they turned back to God. Persia defeated Babylon, and the Jews could go back to Israel. In the book of Ezra, they rebuild the temple. In Nehemiah, they rebuild the defensive wall. But in Esther, we see that not everyone went back. Many remained scattered throughout the Persian Empire, instead of going back to the land they'd been given. God's people were scattered throughout the world, and in Esther, a threat to their existence arose. Wicked Haman wanted to kill them all, but his plan was foiled, and in the first half of chapter 9, the people celebrated their victory over their enemies. We'll tackle the end of the book under two headings. First, we have establishing the feast in the rest of chapter 9. And in chapter 10, we have remembering the man. And in all this, we can celebrate God's mighty act of salvation. First, in chapter 9, verses 20 to 32, we have establishing the feast. This book has been full of feasts. It began with an opulent and drunken feast where Vashti wouldn't show off her beauty. So the drunk king declared she couldn't ever come into his presence again. Then there was a feast when Esther was made queen. Haman and the king sit down to drink in chapter 3 when the order to have the Jews all killed was published. King Ahasuerus liked to party. He liked his food, but he especially liked his drink. But we had the feasts Esther gave for the king and Haman, which revealed Haman's wicked scheme and got him killed. And in the last section, we've just seen the incredible victory of the Jews over the rest of their enemies. And what did they do? In verse 19, they had a day for gladness and feasting, a holiday. A day on which they send gifts of food to one another. And now we come to our passage, and we find Mordecai raised up to the second in command in the empire after Haman was killed, writing a letter. And in that letter, he commands that the Jews were to have a yearly 2-day feast, celebrating forever the victory that God's people had over the enemies who wanted to destroy them. Verse 22, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another, and gifts for the poor. What was a spontaneous celebration was now an annual, organized, and joyful celebration. These annual celebrations fill our lives too. On the day children are born, their parents rejoice and share the joy with everyone they can. Calls are made, photos are sent, visits are had. And every year after that, to mark that day, they fill it with balloons and people and food and presents. We like to celebrate, to remember and enjoy the blessings of the past. Beck and I were married almost 11 years ago, and we at least try to mark it with a special meal. We try to do something special to mark the day that we got dressed up, said our vows, and enjoyed a party with friends and family. Mordecai, verse 21, obliged the Jews to keep the feast, the only feast to be added to the Jewish calendar since Moses. And, verse 23, the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written them. Haman and their enemies had tried to kill them, but they'd been delivered. It doesn't say it, but God had delivered them. So, verse 27, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them that without fail they would keep these 2 days. Every year, every generation, everywhere, they would keep these days, remembering they'd gone from fasting and lamenting to feasting and joy. They'd celebrate God's mighty act of salvation through the feast, which was newly established. And in chapter 10, having just had explained how the feast of Purim was established, celebrating God's mighty act of salvation, the author of Esther wants us to remember the man, to remember Mordecai. The Jewish people had 2 saviors, Esther and Mordecai, but it was Mordecai with the political power. Look at verses 2 and 3. The full account of the high honour of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of these brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. There's something in us that wants to remember significant people. The biography section of a bookstore is full of people who did incredible things. You'll find the stories of kings and queens, inventors and sportsmen. I have the audiobook of a biography of Queen Victoria, which I think from the description will be fascinating. And those are just the people in secular history. But when you think about the people who are significant for church history, the stories multiply. When you read the story of Martin Luther nailing his objections to various important teachings of the Catholic Church, you can understand the fascination with the man. You can understand why every year on the last Sunday of October, churches mark that day as Reformation Sunday. And often you'll hear at least a little about the man, Martin Luther. Mordecai is a man to remember. Popular, powerful, working for his people, bringing them peace. But in the midst of that majestic honour, the author is honest. For all his glory, he's still only second in command. You see in verse 1, Ahasuerus is the one with the power. It's business as normal in the kingdom, and King Ahasuerus, it says, imposed tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea. The people had been waiting for the son of David who'd reign over all the earth. Like Solomon in Psalm 72 says, may he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The book of Esther tells the people to celebrate God's mighty act of salvation. They're to do that through this feast that's been established, and they're to remember the man who established it. But they're to remember that Mordecai isn't the one they're waiting for. There's someone else coming who will truly reign over God's people and the world. And what are we to do now? Well, we're to celebrate God's mighty act of salvation. The Christian life isn't boring. It's not pointless sacrifice and fuddy-duddy morality and obligatory church attendance. It's celebration and joy, even in suffering, hardship, strife, and persecution. Christians have a reason to celebrate. We have something to remember. We can celebrate because there's been an even greater act of salvation than what the Jews experienced through Mordecai. We know the greater Mordecai, the one who was promised the son of David, the one that Isaiah promised in Isaiah 9, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. We know this king who was promised, and he is so much better than Mordecai. Jesus is the king who fought for his people. What king has ever done that? Every other king has gathered an army to fight for him. But Jesus fights for his people. He came to fight for our freedom from slavery. Outside of Christ, we were slaves to our desires. When I was younger, I used to watch that classic Australian soap opera, Neighbours. As I was writing this sermon, out of curiosity, I looked at the description for one of the episodes this past week. I wasn't surprised that of the six people mentioned, I didn't recognise a single name. But one thing that I remember about the show is that it actually showed the devastating impact of sin. Not to its fullest extent by any means, but it still showed the impact. It showed people who thought that they could have sex outside of marriage with no consequences, whether they were teens or adults, and almost always it ended in heartbreak. People hurt, relationships damaged. It showed the impact of selfishness, violence, cruelty. I can't testify as to whether it still does that, but it did back in my day. If we're honest, we know the impact of our sin, the pain it's caused in our relationships, the shame we feel. And we know the war we were in with God. We were his enemies, and he was coming for us. He was angry at us, and judgment was looming over us like a storm cloud. But Jesus came, this glorious king who was promised, and he died on the cross for us. He did what no one else could do. He took our punishment, which means we're now part of God's family. We were at war with him. But Jesus defeated us and welcomes us with kindness. So we live a life of celebration. The Christian life can't be boring if we actually appreciate and love what Jesus has done for us. And while we could look at the Feast of Purim, a yearly two-day feast, and compare it to Christmas and Easter, times of joy and remembrance, they aren't what Purim points us to. See, Christians don't just have a yearly celebration of what Christ did. Every Sunday, when there's not a pandemic, we gather to celebrate. We sing with all our heart, rejoicing in our salvation. We hear the word, remembering all he's done and anticipating all he's going to do. We look forward to the day when Christ's persecuted people will be rescued. And when we celebrate the return of Christ at the wedding feast of the Lamb. The Spirit-filled person can't find the Christian life boring. Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. That old way of living isn't life. Giving in to our sinful desires is only foolish and deadly. But true life, free life, is only found in Jesus. Singing in church isn't boring or strange when you've lifted up the rocks and the logs to discover the depths that God has gone to save you. Instead, it becomes the most joyous, logical response to the God who gave everything for you. We were sinners, deserving of the eternal fire of hell. But he placed his Spirit in us, gave us faith to believe and eyes to see. How could we do anything else but sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound! How could we do anything else than put our sin to death, sacrificing momentary pleasure now for the glory of life and true, pure pleasure for all eternity? The people in Esther were told to celebrate God's mighty act of salvation through the establishment of the feast by a man worthy to be remembered. But we're privileged to celebrate every week as a church. Are you longing for church, when at last we'll be able to celebrate God's mighty act of salvation together? I certainly am. That, like every other gathering, will be a time of joy and gladness. Our loving Father, we're so thankful that Jesus went to the cross to redeem us. Please forgive us for the sin we've committed this week, even this day. We rejoice that Jesus fought our war with sin and he won. We are now free. So give us lives of joy and peace. May we always celebrate your kindness to us. May the time come when we can gather as a church once more. And we pray that there would be newcomers who join us, people who have been granted forgiveness for their sin during this time of lockdown. May this have been a time when many, though locked down in their homes, would have found freedom from their slavery to sin by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you spent this time in God's Word. If you'd like to explore more of who Jesus is, what he said, what he came to do, and how that impacts you, it's not too late still to join Christianity Explored. That's on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. on Zoom. Come with your questions and find answers. If you're interested in Christianity Explored, if you'd like to make a comment, if you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.